Welcome to another Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, gee, the tennis is all over. What do you think?
Tennis is over for another year. Roger, 36, 37 years old, 20th Grand Slam, 6th Australian Open.
That surely put him up near the top, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, he's got to be the greatest tennis player. I mean, Rod Laver, I think, even handed the reins over to him. He was taking selfies and photos of him and all of that after the presentation there the other night. And he's got to be the best there's been, I think.
And, I mean, I don't know the man personally, but he seems to be such a humble fellow.
Apparently, lo and behold, I'm friends with the Carter family, and Peter was his first coach ever. And evidently, just amazing person. Their young son, he was going to Perth the other week when the Hopman Cup was on, and Roger got him front row seats. And sends Peter Carter's mum and dad to the Open every year, pays for the flight, first class accommodation, taxi into the Open to get in there. Just looks after them like $1 million, and apparently just a real down to earth sort of guy.
Yeah. Yes, and the other thing that impressed me was that, and I guess it's the hallmark of a great sports person, no matter what the sport might be, but to not only be at the age that he is and be so successful, but to be so emotional means that he has that ability to lift to the occasion and wants to succeed so much.
Yeah, and it seems to mean so much too. Yes. I mean, he broke down in tears, and they weren't crocodile tears or alligator tears, whatever the saying is. They were genuine tears. He was just emotionally,
It might do well for him to have a talk to Bernard, wouldn't it?
Oh, don't even go there. Here we are in the jungle now. Well, he was. Couldn't even handle that.
What a contrast to see a man 37 emotionally move so much at winning a Grand Slam Australian Open and a young upstart who just doesn't care.
I mean, doesn't really want to play Davis Cup, doesn't really want to play tennis, but the money's there. That's the only thing that's sort of keeping him there, I think. And, you know, here he is in this jungle thing, and there's $1 million gone to his charity. So that charity misses out on that $1 million because that's what they get paid, $1 million and something to go into this jungle for a charity. Well, the charity's now lost that money. They won't pay that out. He's only spent 2 days in the jungle. So I think he should have to fork that out of his own pocket. He's got that much, he's counting.
Well, he said that he's so tired of counting his millions. So,
I mean, that's just a joke. I mean, we shouldn't spend any time on him
at all.
Well,
we shouldn't. It's very sad. I think it really, up until now, I thought, well, you know, whoever the powers that be within tennis might sort of try to rally around and get him on the right side. But I think for Leighton Hewitt to come out and openly say that he's more than likely never going to play Davis Cup for Australia again, I think they've given up hope. Would you?
Well, and he shouldn't be playing Davis Cup for Australia. If his heart's not in tennis, well, is it going to be in tennis for your country? Where I guess they don't volunteer their time. They get paid by the Australian. Well, does the Australian tennis want to pay him anything? I wouldn't have thought. Not with the...
Well, particularly when you don't know what's going to turn up.
I mean, we've got Kyrgios there. Well, hopefully he's turned the corner. He seemed to have turned the corner the last match.
Yes, so, he certainly did. And
Fingers crossed.
I thought they were both in the same camp. But isn't it... I guess it's the difference between one human being and another that it seems as though... That young man has seen the light, whereas the other bloke, I think, is a lost cause. Really.
Yeah, and well, we got Davis Cup this Friday, Rick, over in Brisbane.
Yes.
So looks like Hewitt might play the doubles.
Yes. So the way he hinted last night.
Yeah.
Well, he played in Melbourne, didn't he?
Yeah. He played with big. He's retired now. The name's just gonna.
But he looked. I mean, I only saw glimpses of it, but he's still fitting well.
Yeah. Groth's the lady played with. Yeah. And, so, I mean, why not? I mean, if he's still playing good enough tennis, there's always a chance, I suppose, that he could line up.
And actually, it was a pretty sensationally historic Australian Open because not only did Federer become the first man ever to win 20 Grand Slams, but we had a first-time winner in the women's, I believe.
Yeah, Wozniacki. Was number one in the world, but never ever won a Grand Slam until the Australian Open. So, yeah, I mean, I'm quite a pretty young girl. And,
yes.
I did notice that bit.
Yeah, I'm surprised you did. I would have thought you'd been concentrating purely on the technique.
I was, yes. Yeah. But
And the other girl, she'd been number one as well, hadn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she was the current number one.
And she hasn't won a Grand Slam,
no,
either, has it?
Neither has she won a Grand Slam, but they've obviously won enough, lead-up tournaments.
To get the points.
To get the points. Yeah, it's all on a point system, yes. So there you go.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things which now they vote for the best, cricket player in the world and batsman and bowler and, also rat and whatever. And I guess it's one of those things where there are money incentives, but I guess the answer to part of it, particularly it seems in the tennis world, is if you play enough, let's call them satellite tournaments, but lesser tournaments, and clock up enough points, you can actually achieve that number one rating without...
Yeah, it's just that Grand Slams are worth, let's say it's 100 points and the others are worth 10 points or whatever it might be, you know. But, that's how it works. And just an interesting one I was watching on the Fox Tennis, it was the other day. Peter Korda was a top player for many years. His son won the junior Australian Open and from United States now. So they've obviously moved to the States. Yeah. And, he hits a mean ball and looks just like the old man when he was. It's quite a good game to watch. So,
Well, remember in 5 years' time, with your memory, you'll need to probably write this down. But when you're playing Trivial Pursuit questions and they ask you about the historic happenings at the Australian Open in 2018, you'll be able to come up with the numbers.
I'll have to write it down, as you said. But that's the Aussie Open done and dusted. But I think it was a success. I think the crowd was down a fraction, but I think the heat probably didn't help that.
Well, we discussed, I think, last week about why it's being played, at the time of the year it is, particularly since there are only four Grand Slams. I would have thought that a different month in the year might be appropriate. And, you can't expect people, even if they do close the roof, there's a lot of games that can't be played under the roof. And so you can't expect people to go out and sit in 40-degree heat day after day.
You're spot on. It's there's about 23 courts there, or there was when I was over there. And, to sit out there all day, you'd just fry yourself. Yeah. I mean, shade is, not...
Yes.
So that's enough of the Open, I think. Look, just on to a little bit of footy. I just Scotty Selwood, I heard's done his ankle out for 8 weeks from Geelong. So interesting times.
Well, it's just as well they've recruited the old man Ablett back then.
Well,
it'll
be interesting to see how he goes, won't it, I think, Rick?
Well, on paper, with Dangerfield and Ablett and Selwoods and whatever, you'd have to say that all playing well, it would have to be the best midfield probably since World War II. But again, it's the old story, even before the footy season started, injuries are everything, aren't they?
Well, that's exactly right. But the Crows over in Queensland doing a pre-season again over there. They thought that's the right remedy to try and win a flag.
Well, I would think a bit of surfing after the grand final would do them the world of good, I would have thought.
And just on the power front, I see Kenny's a granddad.
I didn't see that.
He's a granddad.
Lovely.
So, saw him there with the little grand. Yeah. I think it's a grandson.
It's very interesting, isn't it, how in the sporting world, fitness programs take on or go off on tangents. You've got Port the other day coming out and saying the greatest thing that ever happened was this spell of 40-degree heat because they used to have to fly to Dubai or wherever it was to get the heat because they're into heat training. But it all could happen in Adelaide.
Down at Semaphore or somewhere
right.
now.
That's right. But it is interesting. Like the old days, you wouldn't go out and train in 40-degree heat.
No,
but
that's
that
right.
That was the whole idea of them going to Dubai to do it. So, a lot of people argue that Port are a pretty fit side. But, again, it doesn't matter two hoots until the season starts.
It doesn't matter. Exactly right, Rick. We'll just touch on a bit of, that's enough of the footy. Yes. The footy season really hasn't kicked off, although the women start this Friday night.
Yeah, I'm very excited
about
that.
Yes, I bet everyone is. And
getting in for free, it just amazes me.
Is that happening again this year?
Yeah.
It is.
And I think, it's fine. I love the fact that they're playing the game, but I just find disproportionately front pages of the paper and whatever for a season that spans the whole of 8 weeks I think it's embarrassing for the Australian netballers, for instance, that have just won the quadruple tournament.
The soccer players.
And it's disproportionately unbalanced, I think.
And then those 8 games, 10 goals get scored. That's the other part makes me can't watch it too much.
It's underway.
Yes, underway.
And no one, evidently, from what I've been told, has picked the Crows to go back-to-back premiers. So
Is that right?
Yeah, so that'll be interesting
to see.
Well,
they play Brisbane the first game,
grand final. Yes.
Yep. All right, we'll touch on a little bit of cricket. Over in New Zealand, Australians are into the final.
They are indeed. It's interesting. In many ways, I guess you're looking at your under-19 sides from around the world, you'd like to think that with all the squad development and so forth, they are the future coming up. And it's good to see that Australia have actually got into the final. But it's also, I think, interesting to see where the power balance might be, in that the other three semi-finalists were Afghanistan, Pakistan and India. And so the old subcontinent, the money balance is there with the IPL and so forth, and now we've got seemingly a great deal of talent. It's interesting that Australia did beat Afghanistan, who had three spin bowlers.
Yeah, that bowling hand grenades.
That's a bit unfair. They comfortably beat Afghanistan. Evidently, I listened to the interview with one of the young lads, and they did a lot of homework and got a lot of videotape of the Afghanistani spinners because they'd been bamboozling them with their doozers and whatevers, and they'd sorted them out so that they could pick most of them, and they beat them quite comfortably.
Yeah, I watched a bit of that. It was on Fox Cricket there, and the opener made... Ikram, he made 80-odd. He can bat a bit. He goes all right.
Yeah, it is interesting, as we discussed a few sessions ago, that Afghanistan have been granted test status, and there's this Afghani playing for the Strikers, and obviously their under-19s are up there in standard. So it's surprising in a war-torn country like that they're producing. Mm. Then again, you could argue the same with Pakistan, that no one's played test cricket in Pakistan for, it must be 20 years because of the danger, and yet they're still a very powerful cricket nation. But yeah. I guess it's like India. Just imagine if you got the Chinese playing cricket with the population basis. Sure. They'd be unbeatable. But anyway, so I actually haven't heard the result of the India-Pakistan semi-final, but we'll be playing one of them anyway.
Yeah, no, it should be interesting times. So,
good luck to the boys.
And getting on that Indian cricket, some of the money these blokes are getting over there. You know, Stokes, $2.4 million, it's unbelievable. Chris Lynn, $1.8 million, yeah. 6 million.
And he's only got one shoulder. It is. The money is mind-blowing, and I can only but assume that it's generated through the amazing television coverage. And, of course, India is the most famous cricket-supporting nation in the world these days, simply because of the overwhelming population and their absolute adoring love of the game. And the money just is mind-blowing.
And it's evidently, if they get paid that, it's for 3 years. They get paid that for 3 years. Each year they get $2.2 million or whatever it might be. They were saying that Mitchell Starc is on like $5,000 a bowl. $5,000 a bowl. I'm going. I'm off to India.
You're going to swap the lawn bowls for a little red. What do they play with? White ones or something? I don't know.
That is unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. You amazing. Know? Absolutely.
So
we were born in the wrong era, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that is unbelievable.
Although they don't there wouldn't be a big there wouldn't be a lot of money for a little 5 foot six fast bowler with it.
You better hope in the batting, I reckon.
That's right.
Now you got a joke for us there, Rick.
Look,
now,
I have. Well, I thought we'd better, because tennis is over after this session today, we'd better have one more tennis joke. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
How many tennis players does it take to change a light bulb?
Yeah, you've got me.
What do you mean it was out? It was in.
Oh, no.
Well, that's a good way to finish the
tennis,
isn't
we've
it?
Got to finish the tennis season. That season's over, basically. I mean, good local tennis is still playing. But so are we umpiring cricket this week, Rick?
We are. We are, because we missed out again last week because of the heat. And there's another topic which we won't go into now about all the various heat policies around the place. I see Saka got into trouble the other day because they wanted to stop under-12s playing when it was 34, which,
They're not going to play a game all year.
Well, exactly. And some of the great men of the past, including KG, came up and said, well, you know, exactly what you said. You know, if we're going to make it 34, then we'd better change cricket to a winter sport. It's this helicopter society, isn't it, that we're looking after kids. And the funny thing is that it's all over the place. There's no common denominator here. I can understand that kids don't play if it's 38, but 34, you know, next time it'll be 28 or something.
I mean, that is. I mean, a bit precious, aren't we, at the moment?
Oh, it is. The society's become very precious.
Yeah. Well, I've got the water bag tripping bowls this week. I'm off to Yudunda, so I'll be leaving in a minute.
Oh,
so,
right.
Yeah. So, Wharson Lakes to Yudunda.
Well, there you go. When you go up market and change suburbs, then that's the price you pay, isn't it? All right, well, that's about it for the day, I think, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
Done well.
Until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.